The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Ben Wright Human, author of the webcomics Cospain and the Letters of the Devil, and you are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 276. I hope you're doing well out there, and thank you for checking out this episode. And before I get into talking about my guests real quick, I have two miscellaneous notes I would just like to comment on. The first one is some, pretty big news. And if you follow me on Twitter, and by the way, if you don't, my personal handle is at PVDMVP. But if you follow me on Twitter, you may have saw that I tweeted out the fact that this past weekend, I traveled to Red Bank, New Jersey to attend the grand opening of the new location of Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. And while at the stash, I got the opportunity to meet a hero of mine, Kevin Smith. And man, oh man, it was just so awesome. he's a super cool dude. We bantered a little bit back and forth because I had worn my Mayor Vaughn suit jacket. And so he took a picture with me. He was so cool about it. And man, I can check something off the bucket list, I guess you could say. So it was a great time. I was out there with Jason, Justin, and Dan from the Three Geeks podcast. We all rolled out. Friday night, came back Sunday night. A little bit of a long haul, but nonetheless, it was totally, absolutely, 100% worth it. All right, I'd also like to mention real quick and maybe just comment on the passing of Yaphet Kotto. He was in all types of movies. I mean, Alien, The Running Man, Live and Let Die. I liked him because I'm a big fan of Homicide, Life on the Streets, and I enjoyed his role on that show. It just happened here as I'm recording this introduction. It just happened earlier this afternoon, but it's still pretty sad that a legend such as Yaphet Kotto passing on. I think he was 81 years old, so certainly he lived a long life. And you know what? Just for that, I think later tonight I'm going to kick in on DVD Truck Turner, which is a fantastic blaxploitation film. And Yaphet does a great job in it as well. So, all right, with those two little, I guess you could say, announcements out of the way, let's talk about episode number 276. My guest is a man that hasn't been on the PVD Cast since April of 2019. Episode 190 was the last time that Bob Corby joined me to talk about comic books, independent comic books, comic book conventions, and whatnot. And if you don't know who Bob Corby is, well, he's the man behind Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. It's a comic book convention for independent creators that's hosted every year here in Columbus, Ohio. And it's awesome. I have been to Space many, many times, both on the vendor side of the table and as maybe just the general public side of the table. And it's great. It's awesome. I've met so many cool people while going to Space. And unfortunately, COVID-19 caused some, well, much like everything else, caused some problems for Space. So we're going to talk about not only the convention and the future of the convention, as there's going to be two shows this year. We also talk about COVID's impact, about what it's like to have vendors from literally all around the world want to come to your convention. And we're even going to talk a little bit about Bob's creative endeavors as well. He has created a lot of cool independent comic books in his nearly 30-year history of doing it. So that's coming up here. But since we're talking about comic books, probably ought to let you know that this episode is brought to you by the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, back issues, basically anything you need for your fandom, they've got. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop over and say hi to the fine folks over at World's Greatest, or you can check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. And if you're old school and you want to call them, pick up the phone. The number is 614-891-3000. But no matter how you interact with the folks over there at the store, please just let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from me right here on the PVD Cast. All right, now with that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Bob Corby. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sitting down with me this evening is a man that I just said off air, I haven't seen you in forever, because usually we run into each other at a comic book event of some sort, but alas, thanks to 2020, we haven't had too many of those live and in person. The man I'm talking about is Bob Corby. Bob, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very, very well. You're the man behind Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. Would you like to explain to the listeners what Space is all about?
Never quite sure, but essentially Space came out of my involvement with the Small Press back in the 80s, where we used to do our own comics and then trade them through the mail. And at one point, I had a table at Mid-OhioCon here in Columbus, and a lot of those people gathered around that, and we've been doing O-Comics since 1988, and that always brought a lot of people together. So I thought, we need our own convention. So, we did the first one in the year 2000, and it was about 36 people at behind tables, and about that many people came in the door. So basically Space is about people doing their own work or their own comics. Although we've had, publishers come in, like Top Shelf's been there a few times and things like that. So it kind of covers that whole gambit of people producing comics. That's the only requirement, is that you produce some kind of comic, whether you're the publisher or you're the artist or writer, or you're, like me, where I do my own work and publish that. And I also publish O Comics, which is an anthology that has a lot of other people in it. But that's kind of the model, and that's it. And we tried to stick to that.
And throughout the years, Space has kind of grown, because you had a space over in the north end of town, and then you kind of grew out of that one. And then also some other hijinks happened with that building. And then you moved it around. So it's been growing over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah. Like I said, we started with about 36 exhibitors the first year. We have peaked out at, I don't think we had 200, but we might have had about 200 exhibitors one year, and then it kind of rolled back from there, because there's in the space we've been in lately, the Northland Performing Arts Center, there's two rooms, a really big room where I could get 150 exhibitors in, 150 tables. And then there's a secondary room, which is smaller, and the way we run it, it's in the back, and nobody really wants to be in there. So we kind of closed that down a couple years ago, and we use that as our panel room now. And it's a really neat looking space. It's got pretty crazy colors, and it's a weird shape. So it works great for that. We're operating now about 150 tables. So yeah, from the very first one up to where we're at now, it's a world of difference.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, from attending Space myself, I've talked to a lot of creators, and Bob, you have creators coming from all over the place, the Midwest, the South, the Northeast. What's the farthest that you've heard of a creator coming from point A to point B? Point B, of course, being Space.
Well, the one year, some woman signed up. She was coming from China.
Whoa.
And I emailed her and said, well, time out. I said, you're not coming here for this, right? There's other reasons. She said, yes, I'm visiting the States, and just could fit this into my schedule. I said, okay, that's fine. But No, I didn't want to be responsible for bringing somebody halfway across the world just to sit at my convention and make $5.
It's very nice of you, Bob. That's very, yeah, very nice. There are some promoters who wouldn't think that way.
I think I've questioned some people that are coming from the West Coast a few times. I said, you really sure you want to come over here for this? But, they always seem to have a good time. So
that's cool. How does the process start for getting things together for space in a typical year? I know this year has not been a typical year, but typically do you start maybe a few months after the last space convention and you start planning for the following year, or how does that go?
First thing I got to do is make sure we get our dates at the venue before they fill up on me. So that's usually done actually before previous space, a month or two before that, because usually if it's 12 months, you're probably already too late. But if you're 14 months or something like that, they haven't filled in their schedules yet. So that's the first thing. And that usually requires at some point, Northland Performing Arts Center has been great and they really work with me. And I always ask them, I said, can I sign up for that and pencil me in for that date? And then after my show this year, we'll see what kind of money we have left. And then I could put a down payment on the space for next year. So that they have let me do that. That's not as big a deal anymore now since we don't charge admission anymore. But at one point I was counting on that little chunk of money coming in from the admissions to do that. Things seem to be working okay. When we got rid of the admission, we did raise the exhibitor fees up a little bit to cover that because we never made a lot of money people coming in. I think we got a lot more people showing up now to buy comics because there's no charge to get in. So that worked out pretty well. And it made everybody, all the exhibitors happy. So they were willing to throw in a couple extra bucks to do that.
So the initial planning starts at 14 months out and then you kind of start getting in and fine tuning things. I assume most exhibitors are, hey, I'm coming back next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I usually give it a couple months, let everything settle out from the last show. And then I'll start, I'll send out an email and the super secret exhibitor sign up page for the people that are returning. Cause I usually give them a price break and let them sign up early before anybody else can do it. Loyalty means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. If you're with me all the time, you'll get treated well. So that's kind of the always been the tack. So we'll get, we won't fill up, we'll get 25, 30, 50, maybe 50% full before we open it up to everybody else. And then, then it proceeds from there. So they get a couple months to do that. So we're really not in a rush. Mm-hmm. And in the meanwhile, reading Space Prize books that I collected, because we collect books for the Space Prize every year in three categories, the graphic novel, I forget what we call it, the general category, and the mini comics / short story category. So I'm starting to read those and work on finalists so that I can distribute those to the judges at some point. And I'm getting close to that right now for this year, and I probably should have been on it. I took a little, I put the brakes on a little bit because of, originally we were going to be in July this year. Mm-hmm. I thought by that time we'd be through all the COVID stuff, but I don't think we will be. So I moved the show out to November, but we are going to do a online thing just to kind of keep the cadence going. Because I do want to get a live show in this year. I had paid Northland Performing Arts Center for the space last year, and the whole amount, and we never got the show off. So I'd like to get all that all settled up this year and not have to go into another year, because my first thought was, we'll just go online, forget about the live show again, I was originally thinking we might do an outdoor show, which I don't think would work. I looked into renting tents because I know not everybody in town here who does comics has the 10 by 10 gazebo thing that would have been perfect for that. You could space them out somewhere. I was thinking about the parking lot over at the Northland Performing Arts Center. I had talked to them a little bit about that. And then I start pricing things out and it just not very attractive. So then I figured, okay, we'll just split it into two, you know, do the virtual show on the original date, and then, you know, pick it up in November, getting past CXC, who are at the, I believe, the beginning of October. So that gives us a month in between. And it also misses any home football games for OSU. So that's not an issue. It's a Nebraska game. So I don't know how interested people would be in that game.
It's amazing you have to consider that.
Well, there was a reason I was in spring from day one, is to avoid Buckeye football. Mm-hmm. Because this town, there's nothing else in the fall. That's it. That's all there is. Mm-hmm. Ironically, I have missed at least two articles in local newspapers in the spring because the spring game had precedence, and they bumped my they bumped those articles for spring game articles. I thought, okay, can't get away from it no matter what I do.
Well, you know, funny you mentioned about an outdoor show. I'm not going to mention the convention by name, but I just got an email from this convention Monday that they are doing an outdoor show.
Oh, cool.
I think it's the last week in May that they're doing an outdoor show. And I was like, well, that's a unique way to think about it. And I just was like, fingers crossed that it's nice weather. That's the thing that you got to worry about. But I'm like, that would be a kind of a neat setup. That's an original idea.
Is that a comic show?
It is a comic book show. Yes.
Okay. Because I've done a number of art festivals outdoors. I have the 10x10 gazebo that you're supposed to have. So, and I have t-shirts, so they let me in. I have prints, so, you know, I kind of conform to fitting into an art show. Mm-hmm. And then I bring the comics along too. Yeah. Most of them like that. And it works really well because I'm usually surrounded by women making jewelry. So when couples go by, the guys got to go somewhere. So
it's a smart idea.
The problem that I ran into was, okay, I know most of the comic book guys in town don't have the gazebo to set up, and I would have to rent them and charge them for it, which would be just didn't work out. So I don't know what the other, I might find out who that is.
I'll tell you off air.
I'm interested in seeing how they're pulling that off because I didn't want to get, we've done it at Independence Day with like a huge tent, but then we were packing them, you know, 6-foot tables right next to each other, which I couldn't do. And by the time you space them out enough, the price per is just too much. You know, the price per exhibitor would be too much to, you know, for them to stomach. So I just decided, you know, if I could do it for the $70-$80 I've been charging for tables for the regular space, then yeah, maybe we could pull it off and people would, and we might draw some people because mostly, like you said, there nothing's been going on.
Let's go back for a minute because I have a question about the space prize, and I just wanted to see if you could maybe let the listeners know what the space prize is, why you started it, and who maybe some of the winners have been in the last year or so.
Okay. Well, I probably have to go look. But it actually, we started, the first few were done as Lifetime Achievement Awards. This was when Dave Sim was still coming with the Gene Day Awards. And so he was giving out an award for a comic every year, you know, whatever he thought was the best. Him and Gerhard would, one of them would read them all and pick some finalists. And then the other guy would read them all and pick the winner. And that's how they did it. And then he left in 2008, and I had a pile of books I was supposed to shoot up to Canada to, you know, for him to review. And he told me that he's not coming back. So I took it over, and I was planning on doing something anyway. So we started the space prize with a single category. And so, which really wasn't fair because you had mini comics up against graphic novels. And so as time went on, we developed a couple other categories. You know, we have, you know, graphic novels, the general category, which is like kind of a normal comic, standard comic size stuff, not necessarily, and mini comics. And those categories are more broken up by the page counts than by their actual size or format, because I didn't know how else to make it fair. You know, here's a, you know, the standard is like from something like 16 to 50 pages, something like that. And then anything beyond that's a graphic novel. Anything below that's a mini comic or a short story. So that's kind of the way we did it. And we get maybe 100 entries altogether, sometimes more than that. Unfortunately, for the 2020 show, I was doing it, but people had to mail me books. And besides all that, I think there was a real downturn in productivity. You know, people just were depressed and didn't do anything. So I think I had books come from two people. So I said, you know what, I will hold on to those. So we'll do it again for 2021. But, you know, those can be included in that, and we'll make the eligibility for the 2 years instead of, usually it's for a year, whatever was produced in a given year is that, you know, what can be entered into that. So there won't be any, well, there might be, we might give away a couple lifetime achievement awards this year, just because I'd like to have people there. Instead of doing it online, just wasn't as much fun. Although we had to break it up into, like, I think it wound up in four different segments, the three different categories. And then we had so many kids. We also had the junior category where, you know, kids submit their books and basically give every one of them a plaque. I mean, that's because we just want to encourage that.
Well, and I will say, from having a couple of winners of the Space Prize on the PVD cast, it's really considered to be an honor, you know, to have your peers say this project is worthy of a lot of recognition. And, you know, a lot of folks look forward to it.
It's great. I'm glad we can give some people incentive to produce more comics.
Yeah.
If anybody really wants to see the winners, there is a page up on the Back Porch Comics space website where we have all the all the winners from last year, and then there's an archive of all the winners from previous years if you want to get into it.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your art too, but before we do that, I have just one final question in regards to space. So you've been promoting space for a very long time. I know that you attend other conventions and other exhibits and other events. What do you think, as a promoter of these events, what do you think is the most important quality or attribute you have to have as the promoter?
Persistence.
Okay.
Yeah, just keep pounding away. It's kind of what I did. Had a tough time going at the beginning because people had no idea what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then a couple of years in, you know, people at the alt weeklies and stuff knew what I was up to, and they were ready to do stuff for me and, or, you know, help promote. Sharing going on online, that helps that too. So, and the other thing is kind of being visible for a lot of the year, so people don't just forget it. So I try to do something like, well, now with the live casts, try to put yourself out there so that people, you know, space is in their mind. So that's one of the reasons I decided to do, you know, memories are foggy now. Last year we did a virtual show, which wasn't that bad, but I'm sure wasn't as, actually the good thing about that is it's up online on YouTube still and on Facebook. So people watch it after. So I think I got bigger numbers after the fact on that. So that was kind of unexpected. But I try to do something every once in a while just to keep, you know, to keep our name there. Because like I said, there was just that virtual show. And if that didn't happen again and we had another one, and by the time we hit next year, we're forgotten. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the only thing we can do right now is virtual. So I've been on there a few times. We did a couple mini comic days where we got a bunch of the guys, exhibitors. They didn't have to be exhibitors, but people I knew who wanted to sit down and write, draw, and reproduce a mini comic that day. So we did two of those things to kind of keep people locked in. And also a 24-hour comic we did live. So we were on for 24 hours, almost 24 hours. I got done, everybody got done before me. And I got done, you know, with a couple hours to go. So
I'm going to ask real quick, since we're going into talking about your art, mini comics, are, do you find those to be more difficult to do than a regular comic?
Not really.
Okay.
The nice thing about that is if you get a crazy idea, you can just sit down and do it, get it over with, you know, eight pages, bam, it's done, or more. A lot of my other stuff is done episodically. So it's just kind of the same thing. I'm only going to do like 8 pages at a time or so. So it's, you know, I'm not sitting down and like some of the guys I watch, like Nate Powell, and I don't know if you watch Cartoonist Kayfabe.
No, Jim I'm going to have to check this out.
Oh, you got to check it out. Jim Rugg and Ed Piskor over in Pittsburgh. And, you know, they're sitting more, like Ed right now is working on his graphic novel. He'll just sit there and crank out page after page after page, and you see them piling up, and it's crazy. But yeah, most of what they're doing is reviewing old comics, which is kind of fun because, you know, they're younger and they're locked into that 90s era, where I kind of stopped reading regular corporate comics back about that time, so a lot of this stuff is new to me. I kind of stopped reading that kind of stuff somewhere in the early 80s, so I moved over to the independent stuff and the, you know, the small press stuff. Right now I'm my current project, well, O Comics is coming up, and I have a 2-page story that I'm almost done for that. I might do another short story for that too. I haven't figured it out yet. And then I'm putting out a regular book now. I'm going to try to, at least the first one is out, Plans. And it's, actually, that one is like 4 different stories. It's only 20 pages. So one of the stories is eight pages, and that's the big one. And then there's a couple smaller things. And the second one I'm working on now, there's another feature that was in the first one, but not that many pages. And that'll be the 8-page feature. And one of the other ones will go down to 4 pages and you know, some other smaller things to fill it in. So that way I can keep messing around with different things. And I haven't figured out what, you know, what that graphic novel is that I'm going to do someday. So I'll just keep, you know, doing a little different things and serializing. So that's what I'm planning. Plans should be a continuing series of revolving stories. And part of it is I want to do different media. Mm-hmm. One of the stories in there is painted, acrylic painted.
Okay.
One of the stories is, what I've heard called now enlightened drawings, where you start with a gray paper and work black and white on it. So I've done some of that. And then just the regular crazy pen textures, you know, just black and white art, a lot of stipple and cross-hatching and that kind of thing on another one. So I want to keep playing around with all those different things. Just did the 24-hour comic, and just to kind of show you what I like to play with different things. It's got a silkscreen cover on it. I you know, put the 24-hour comic together, and it's just black and white. Whatever was produced that day is what's in that book, except I put a, you know, put the new cover on it. Nice color cover, so it'll look a little nicer on the table if I ever get to a table. So that just premiered I was at the virtual MSU Comics Forum about 2 weeks ago. So that's where that premiered. And wasn't that successful for that book, but I sold a few things there. So I did a couple other conventions earlier than that this year. It was actually set up at a convention in Australia. So this whole virtual thing has...
It's opened, you know, new doors.
It's open. Yeah, it's opened new doors. I did sell some stuff. At the end of last year, I was at the Anchorage Comic Fest up in Anchorage, Alaska, and I set up there and I sold some books. And, you know, some of them went up to Alaska, some of them went to Oklahoma. So it was kind of weird that, you know, this medium has opened it up that way. And one of the things I missed last year when we did the virtual space, I think the only people I asked were the people that were already going to be there at the live show. So I missed out on that opportunity of pulling people in from all over the place. So this year I'm going to do a little better job of that. I've already contacted the people that are signed up for, you know, for space for the live show to see if they want to do the, you know, the virtual show too. And then I'm going to go outside and see what, you know, what we could find out there. Somebody contacted me, forget where they're from, just today, somebody that probably wouldn't have come to space because it wouldn't be worth it for them, but it would, might be just to set it up virtually. So,
You mentioned O Comics. You got a new one coming out. Right. What number, what volume are you up to on O Comics?
This will be number 29.
Okay. Okay.
And it's the hope theme because we didn't want to push luck or luck. Last year's was chaos, which, you know, we all know what happened. So we thought, well, if this is something, if something's going on here, let's keep it good. So that everybody agreed to the hope theme.
Who is who's going to be adding into that anthology? Do you have do you remember off the top of your head what
for this year?
Yeah, for this, for the 29.
Just got something from Kel Crum. Kate Isaac sent me something, and she hasn't contributed to that book for a few years now, so that's great to have her back. Oh, Joel Kramer, he'll be back. I never could pronounce this guy. I've never met him. He's one of the few people I haven't met that's Troy Vivasis. He's from Pennsylvania, and I've never met him in person, but he's contributed something. And Kel, Joel, and then my strip is getting, you know, I have it in the file there, what I've got done. I'm finishing the second page, and that's a painted, that's going to be painted. The second page is down in the basement, drying out a little bit so I can put some more paint on it.
And all of your books, no matter we're talking Plans or O Comics or my favorite, Big Ears and Flat Feet, they're all available through Back Porch Comics, which is your kind of imprint, correct?
Right. Yep. Just, and it's up on the website. So if you go up to the Back Porch Comics website, you'll see the Star and Cosmo, which is the space side of the site. And then you'll see the house with the back porch on it, the Back Porch Comics side, and that's the side that has all the comics. And I reformatted that whole website last year to when we did space, we were thinking more about formatting it for mobile phones. So
okay,
so you know, because people are looking at stuff on their phone, they'll have, chances are they'll hit that button and buy stuff without thinking about it too hard. More so than if they're sitting comfortably at home and have time to think.
That's true. Very true.
So we reformatted that, reformatted my website. And I think I did that for CXC. When we did Space Online, we did have a formatted comics market, which was different than my regular pages. It was already that, but that was the thinking for that. And I carried that over into my, you know, my, my shop on the website for my comics.
Well, Bob, real quick, before we wrap things up, I want to interrupt just briefly for a minute to talk about a great sponsor of the PVDcast, World's Greatest Comics. And I know you are very pro comic book shop. So yep. I won't take too much of your time here just to let the listeners know that World's Greatest Comics, it's the one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. I mean, they got tons of issues, whether you're talking about current issues or back issues. They got collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, you name it, they got it. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville. Or if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you can check them out online, wgcomics.com, or go over to Facebook and look for at WG Comics, and you get all the information about the store, their hours, what's going on over there. And you know what? If you're not computer savvy, you can call them. Yeah, pick up the phone, 614-891-3000. And again, I appreciate the support from Jeff and all the fine folks over at World's Greatest Comics. You haven't been over to World's Greatest, you've said, in a while, huh?
Not recently, no. Well, there's a lot of comic shops on the way, so
true. Yeah, and it's opposite side of town. I understand.
Right.
You know, so you haven't been to, have you been to the new location?
I don't think so. How long ago was that?
Within
a year or two, I probably haven't been there.
I was gonna say it's probably been, I can tell you when. I believe that it was May, summer of 2019.
Oh, then I Haven't been there. Yeah. I think I saw that they did have a new shop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very nice. Yeah, it's very nice.
When I first started O Comics, I tried to hit every comic shop in the state. And I don't know if I got them all, but that one, that didn't exist at that time. But I do have a very comprehensive list of comic shop addresses because I still, well, last year I didn't do it, but up till then I had been sending out flyers to every comic shop in Ohio and some of the surrounding states. So I'm not sure how effective that is anymore, but
yeah,
I'm kind of well aware of most of the comic shops.
Well, let's wrap up with a couple of real quick questions. Okay. In regards to your art, Bob, who are or who were some of your influences?
Well, Jack Kirby, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And although you can't really see it that well in a lot of the art, Charles Schulz, and some of that shows up in some of the mini comics. But I'm back working on my Gremlin story, which I did 30 plus years ago. Actually, I started it when I was in college, which is even longer than that. And I think it finally got done around 1990. And that was very, I don't want to use this word, but derivative of Jim Starlin's Warlock. So yeah, Jim Starlin is influenced. Yeah, for comics, that's probably most of it right there. And, big fan of Neil Gaiman, and I don't think I could ever approach writing that way, but something mm-hmm. to aspire to.
Speaking of aspirations, if a creator would come to you and ask for some advice, what advice would you give them?
Draw a lot.
Okay.
Draw all the time. I mean, I did, I was always off and on because I had a full-time job, more than full-time job and a family. And so I would only get to it maybe on the weekends and not every weekend. So it was very spotty. So I never got any better at it. Last year, in October, I drew 58 pages because I did the Inktober and I turned it into a comic, and I could see some of the stuff happening and it was getting easier.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just draw every day, you're going to improve a lot. Once you get that, then, the next part is like we were talking about earlier, promotion. You just need to, get it out there somehow. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. And I'm probably not very good at that. But my main way of dealing with that was to do shows. I could talk people into buying some of my stuff. And I'm dying because I got some really good stuff right now that, I haven't been able to talk to anybody face-to-face into buying.
Well, let's recap a couple of things here real quick. First of all, tell us all about the two shows for Space. The one that's happening in November and then the other virtual one, which you said was going to happen in July, correct?
Yeah, right. We're going to keep the same dates, the July 10th and 11th. And actually, the comics market will probably go about a week long because, if we have programming panels and stuff, they'll be on that weekend. And, mm-hmm. and again, I have nothing lined up yet. So I'll start working on that soon. And that'll go, and then the comics market will be open for the week. So you can get in on my website. And I'm not sure what format that takes. We tried real hard last year, try to keep everybody there without wandering off to some other people's websites. Didn't completely worked out, but I had other people's PayPal buttons on my website, which worked pretty well. So you didn't have to leave. You could buy... Yeah. And I think we held it to five products, five different books. So everybody's table, as you will, was basically a rectangle with their promotional video. I wanted everybody to give me a minute long video or so of themselves talking about their books or some kind of commercial about their books. And then about five products with buttons or links over to where people could buy them. And so I think the format's going to be similar. I don't think I'll push the PayPal button because that was a lot of work, and I don't know if it made a lot of difference. Then, since we want to get a live show in, we moved the live show to November 6th and 7th over at the Northland Performing Arts Center. And hopefully that'll be like it's been the last 5 or 6 years over there. And we get back to seeing people and doing programming there. And I'm going to hug everybody I see because I am just, I haven't touched anybody. But I live alone. So I see my son a couple times a week. That's about it.
Yeah.
And I go run over to the comic shop and see people over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any upcoming live chats that you would like to talk about or any other appearances, so to speak?
I'm just trying to think what was something came up. I was thinking about doing, I recently went back, you know, I went to these other shows online. I didn't buy anything from Australia because I figured that was a little pricey to ship things here. But yeah. I bought stuff at Anchorage. I bought stuff at the MSU Comics Forum. I went back and I bought a lot of stuff during the virtual space. So I went back to a few of those exhibitors and buy subsequent issues from them. And so I have been accumulating a lot of that stuff and I haven't even opened them. So I was thinking of doing an unboxing here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, cool.
We'll just sit down and everybody will get to see all these books coming from all over the place in one spot. First time I see them too, you know, other than seeing them on a screen and taking a chance of hitting that button.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, let's let everybody know again, the website is backporchcomics.com.
Right.
And it also has the tab for space. Do you have some social media that you would like to plug for space or your own project?
Most of everything I ever do or say, and you get too much of me there, is on my Facebook, which is just Bob Corby. Look me up on Facebook, Bob Corby. There is, and where the virtual shows will be, and a lot of these live casts will be on, there's a space page, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo page, and that's where all the broadcast stuff will be. You know, when we do that, we'll have links over there. And I think if you go into my website across the top, if you go to the space page, there's all the social media buttons. I have a Twitter, but nobody likes me on Twitter, so I'm not on there too often. I'll usually just dump an announcement and go. And I got an Instagram that I do put a lot of artwork up on Instagram. So, and I do, you know, any kind of promotional stuff for space, I'll put up there too.
What's the Instagram handle?
Instagram is weird. I got it before I thought I would use it for anything. So it's BPC013. Backporch okay. Comics 013.
Okay.
A lot of 13s in my stuff. I was born on Friday the 13th, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my lucky number. So.
All right. Well, Bob, with that, I want to thank you for coming on, spending a little bit of time this evening chatting with me and the listeners. And, man, looking forward to getting back to being live at a comic book convention. I mean, it's. I can just taste it. So yeah, hopefully in November it happens.
I hope so. I don't know what we do if it doesn't, but
we'll improvise, I guess.
Yep. We're back on here again.
Well, Bob, thanks for stopping by. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Bob Corby talking about space and his creative endeavors. And I really do hope that you enjoyed this episode. And there's a couple different ways you can let me know if you enjoyed it or maybe you didn't enjoy it. I don't know. I'm open to criticism as long as it's constructive and respectful. But nonetheless, let me give you those avenues where you can touch base with me. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of this podcast. Just search for at PVDcast. You can even shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And I probably should let you know where you can get this podcast just in case maybe you want to tell somebody about it. Well, it's available at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. And through all of those major podcasting outlets like Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio, basically go to your favorite outlet. In the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando. Why? I don't know.
probably because technology hates me. But nonetheless, if you put in PVDcast in the search bar, you should find it. And when you listen to an episode, please rate and review. All right, give me a 5-star rating and just put in the comment section that I told you to do so. There you go. It doesn't really matter. But anyways, give me a 5-star rating. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And tell some folks about the PVDcast. If you like what you heard, the best type of advertising is word of mouth. I also have on the docket a few live broadcasts that I do with the PVDcast. Every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out this week's episode just by going to the Facebook page of the PVDcast. And if you miss it on Monday, on Tuesday nights, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, it is replayed through the Scene Snobs Network. And I'm going to give a little plug for the guys over there. Check out thescenesnobs.com. It's a great network that has a lot of great and cool podcasts on it. And it's growing. It's growing. So check out all the great podcasts over at the Scene Snobs. And with that, let's see. I got everything done that I needed to get done. So with that, I'm going to head on out of here. Thanks for listening one more time. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and most importantly, stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.